Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show where, from which you cannot hide. It's on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Archives at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. And it's completely listener supported as well. So if you want to go to the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, make a donation through the bank account, which is available there. Automatic payments are really, really highly valued because that regular income and support is the reason why I'm able to continue after more than 3 years to give hours upon hours of airtime to activists, authors, researchers, doctors, politicians, filmmakers, radio hosts, and ordinary people just like you. Because the media frickin' won't, and the corporations that currently put all their advertising and everything all over the media have no interest in funding a show like this. The people, on the other hand, really have an awful lot of interest in shows like this. So please, open your hearts, open your wallets, and support the Vinnie Eastwood Show in all its magnificent glory and fun and friendliness. Because if you listen 5 days a week, you'll hear five completely different views, but five completely different topics, generally, in any given week. And you'll have a geometrically increased possibility of having something that changes your life happen to you. I can assure you of this. I have received many emails hearing this much different opinion and this wide diversity of topics from such an array of talented, interesting, and educated people is enough to blow anybody's mind. Even if you happen to be one of those talented and interesting people, like Joe Atwell and Ryan Gilmore. Welcome back. You were having a conversation without me over the break, and you said you wanted to continue it.
Yes. Joe mentioned alternative media and how alternative media has started with shows like yours, and that's amazing and I think our savior in these critical times. Another piece of the puzzle, I think, is alternative education. And maybe we can use the internet for this. I don't know. But that'd be something I'd like to see, because one thing is we don't have information, and we're starting to get that information out through those channels. But we've also lost our clear reasoning skills because they've been taken out of education, so that we learn a lot of false history and just a plethora of facts, but we aren't taught in school generally how to sift through those facts. How do you evaluate them as true or false? And the truth movement is slowly gaining back those skills just by practicing with all this extra information that we now have access to. We can start to evaluate things, and we go down these rabbit holes and we find out, oh no, I thought that was true at first, but now I'm starting to be skeptical of that theory and try out another theory and feel embarrassed. And that's part of the process. But what we need is
starting to reverse this, this downward trend in IQs, aren't we? And speaking of which, something we keep forgetting, covertmessiah.com, ladies and gentlemen, covertmessiah.com. That's where you can get more information on Joe Atwell and Ryan Gilmore. I just had to squeeze that in there because I know we've been reminding ourselves to say it and haven't said it yet.
Thanks, Vinny. So, please go there to our event to find more information about the event on the 19th of October, 2013. And you can buy tickets there as well. And if you're in London, come and meet Joe Atwell. Also, there will be Kenneth Humphreys. He's the author of Jesus Never Existed. He'll be speaking there as well. And we'll be showing the great documentary by Fritz Heed on Joe's book, Caesar's Messiah.
Mm. Now, anyway, we were talking about this particular problem and how alternative media and the internet are going to be able to facilitate the re-education to use a Communist Manifesto term.
So it's not just information. It's not just information, but we have to get really good at evaluating that information because, of course, as most people who've learned being in the truth movement, that there is a lot of false information. And you have to have a way of starting to sift through that.
Here's my favorite example of false information. December 21st, 2012.
Thank God we're past that date.
God!
Thank goodness. I wonder if, Joe, you could get into some of the source of that apocalypse.
Sure. 2012. And that's a really good example of what Ryan is mentioning, is that people simply couldn't deal with that absurdity because they didn't really have the right sort of training. In the Middle Ages, there was a particular pedagogy that they used with the children of the wealthier classes, the trivium and the quadrivium, they were called. And they basically are just the study of logic and grammar and the relationship between the two. And those individuals, the people who had power, knew that this was the right way to approach phenomena in the world. And this is why it isn't taught in our public schools and why people as adults just are lost typically in conversation because they just don't automatically have the training in grammar and logic that would, you know, make a lot of the information that comes out of the mainstream media revealed as incorrect just automatically. But you know, getting back to the magic date, I mean, that comes from Terence McKenna, who was one of the LSD I think some other very powerful drug, a DMT or something like that, DDT, I don't know.
DDT, that's but, a
he of course, was promoting these heroic doses of these psychedelic drugs, enough literally to produce psychosis when it was determined later on that he wasn't taking them at all. But
McKenna wasn't taking the acid trips.
Of course not. His brother admitted that no, he hadn't taken any drugs in 20 years. In fact, he mainly just drank booze. But see, this should be this really shouldn't surprise anyone because the entire psychedelic movement was vetted. It comes out of the CIA project MK Ultra. Robert Hunter, who was the lyricist of the Grateful Dead, and Ken Kesey, who was the guy of the psychedelic bus, they are both known as employees of the organization. And then since with the Freedom of Information Act, now the original story, the one that supposedly propelled these individuals into starting to be interested in psychedelic drugs, which occurred in Life magazine in 1957, was about this guy, Gordon Wasson, who was supposedly, interested in psychedelic drugs. Now, it just so happened he was also the director of public relations and a vice president at J.P. Morgan Bank and was also the head of the Council of Foreign Relations, right? So a little suspicious. But then, as it turns out, with the Freedom of Information Act, you can find out that Wasson's entire development of the psychedelic mushrooms in Mexico was this MK Ultra project. And this isn't open for contention. I mean, the letter exists showing that Wasson arranged for funding for all of the trips to Mexico through the CIA and MK Ultra. And so you have to say, well, what are they doing? You know, why is all of this psychedelia, you know, such an important thing? Well, it turns out that they really wanted to start developing the neo-feudalism probably right after World War II. Gregory Bateson, who was Margaret Mead's husband, again, using the Freedom of Information Act, letters have been found. They're published in a well-known book called Weaponizing Anthropology by Dr. David Price, showing that Bateson actually, though he claimed to be a proponent of psychedelic drugs and a big humanist, right? He's always telling people peace and love. Speaker at the Esalen Institute. Now, in his real life, he was instructing the government of the United States and Britain in how to operate a more effective slave colony. And in the letters that Price has found, it shows Bateson describing experiments of the Russian government on their Asiatic populations to determine how they can best be kept in a slave state. And he says that the experiment that showed the best of a inferior population, he uses that expression, that exact term, being controlled by a superior population, he used the exact term, was that you had to develop a native revival or an archaic revival. In other words, you don't want the inferior people being jealous of the technology that the rulers had. Rather, you wanted them to embrace their past, right? So this was why you have Bateson being at the very first meetings where MKUltra is established, evidently explaining to them how to do it. You then go on until you have all of these rock and roll people who just come out of nowhere that give away LSD for free. And in the midst of all this, you have this philosophy about peace, love, returning to the commune, and living off the land and kind of abandoning technology, right? Dennis McKenna comes along, and he calls it the archaic revival. You see, uses the exact expression that Bateson had talked about when he was saying that this is how you could essentially develop the more effective slave state. Basically, science, in this case anthropology, has been used to improve the feudal system. And all of these individuals that the media pops out can be traced to the organization, or at least a great many of them. For just as a casual example, Jim Morrison, the lead singer of The Doors, his father was Admiral Morrison, who was the person in charge of the false flag event at the Gulf of Tonkin. You see? And you just go on and on. David Crosby, you know, same things, father OSS member, Annapolis graduate. Frank Zappa. I mean, there's a guy named David McGowan, I believe his name is. He looked into the backgrounds of the rock stars and just was amazed. He couldn't understand why it was the case, but he was just amazed that so many of them came out of military intelligence. And so then you have the same phenomena occurring up in San Francisco, where you have all of these people, the Grateful Dead and Ken Kesey and LSD being given away en masse. And I mean, en masse. I mean, the Grateful Dead would have hundreds of thousands of tabs that they somehow miraculously had, and they just gave it away to everyone for free. So what's going on here? Well, it's the archaic revival, brother. You're looking at your government in action, and they're trying to dumb down the population, to drop you out of technology, put you into a kind of neo-feudalism. Now, in the neo-feudalism...
I was just thinking about this.
Just one last point, and then we'll go forward. Now, you need Christianity, right, to make it all just perfect. So you have a thing called A Course in Miracles, which was a two psychologists, Thetford and Schumann, claiming that they were able to channel Jesus Christ. And he developed all of these bizarre ideas that led you away from being able to criticize the government or anything, right, and simply learn to be at peace with the world as it is. Now, oddly enough, if you look into their backgrounds, these two individuals are part of what project? MKUltra. They are both, at the very moment that they are developing the Course in Miracle, are being paid, their salaries being paid for by the CIA. So now when you look at it as a pattern, you just have a really lovely package of neo-feudalism, and you've even got neo-Christianity on top to make everybody happy about it.
And this came out of Joe's study of Christianity. I think this it became a case study where he saw a controlled opposition. I mean, back in the first century, Christianity seemed like something for rebellious youth and something against the empire. And going from the 50s to the 60s, the psychedelic culture seemed like, oh, well, that's a way to sort of rebel against Christianity. But the sad fact is, or at least this is the way it looks, is it's another thing from the same playbook, another controlled opposition.
Yeah. And all of those individuals that were taken into that rat hole of the counterculture, and I was there, took years to recover from.
It's because no
drugs,
movement.
The absurd abandonment of technology, the absurd abandonment of careers and trajectories that might have given them some real political power, some ability to defend themselves, that all disappeared. And at the same time, you've got these weird concepts like feminism comes into play, right? You start breaking up the family. The family starts disappearing. This is all part of neo-feudalism. This is exactly what happened with Constantine. The family was destroyed.
Oh, well, that's pretty loud music right there, just cutting us off. Okay, well, Joe, we'll be back right after the break. And I was thinking, you know, some movement should actually be called for to expose the serfdom. You know how the birth certificate movement was called the birthers? You know, we could have somebody to expose the serfdom and call them the surfer movement. I don't know. We'll be right back.